Takes a minute, I think. I hit the button.
Okay. The green one?
Yeah, we're on. We're on now.
It's 6 p.m. on Monday, June 26, 2017. We'll call the Village of Alloway Plan Commission meeting to order. We'll start with roll call. Wheeler?
Here.
Hanson?
Here.
Dart?
Here.
Gronowski is here. Rob?
Here.
Nybert?
Here.
Okay, moving on to item number two, modify or adopt the existing agenda. If there's any modifications anybody wants, please voice them and take their consideration. If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Motion approved.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Agenda will go forward as written. Item number three, minutes from May 22nd, 2017. Did anybody have any changes? There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Minutes carried. Item number four, announcements. Should we end the meeting?
Well, we have a few. We have Waste Chiropractic. They have the grand opening on Saturday. You know, I shared that email with you. From what I hear, things went well. I wasn't there. And I'm not quite sure on attendance. Then we also have the farmer's market. I always like to try and plug that. That's every Thursday right out here from 3:30 to 6:30. And then the last announcement is it's Kendra Hansen's last meeting. Kendra, I think you have been on the Plan Commission since 2012. Yeah. So, certainly going to miss you. And wish you good luck in Africa.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure serving with everyone here. You guys are a great team.
We'll miss your expertise.
You don't think you can come back often?
Yeah,
on
I can commute once
for me.
Yeah. That would be
it's not commuting distance.
Not quite.
Bummer.
Thank you for all that you've done and all the insights you've given us.
You're welcome.
I believe Kendra and Brad, just to further embarrass Kendra, I think they're going to be on Alloway Neighbors this month.
Yeah.
I
will. So check your mailbox.
Excellent. Any other announcements? Okay, we can move on to item number five, public appearances. If there are people here that want to talk about item number six, the request to rezone, you can do that when we get to that item. You don't need to come up now during the public appearance portion. But if there's another item on the agenda that you'd like to comment on, now is a good time to do that. You come up to the microphone and state your name and address, and then you can certainly comment on any of the items, but if not, we can move on to item number six, and we can open the floor for discussion at that point, too.
All right, that would be us, I guess. Do I have to come up here?
Are you item number six? Is that
yes.
The, okay. One second, I just got to say it. Move on to item number six, action regarding request to rezone parcel number AL-806-C-27. Located at 723 Merlin Drive, legally described as Camelot Subdivision First Edition, Lot 27, and ELY 35 feet of Lot 26 from A Residential to B Residential. That's across from the Alloway Shops. So at this point, typically what we do is we have Trevor kind of give a background as to the request and give some context to us, and then we can suspend the rules and have people come up and comment if that's okay.
All right, so this lot is currently vacant. It's, as you said, it's right across from those shops on East River Drive. It's been vacant I look at the aerials, it's been vacant. I don't think there's ever been a structure there. Currently zoned A residential, looking to rezone B residential so that they can construct a duplex. Will be an owner-occupied duplex on the site. Site meets all the zoning requirements for the residential lot, and minimum of 9,000 square feet, 90 feet of frontage, and all that. Any buildings that would go on there would have to meet those zoning requirements and setbacks and everything like that. Across the street, you know, there is commercial. It is in primarily a residential or single family neighborhood. There is, I believe, one duplex that is across the street.
Which lot is that? You can put that on that.
I believe it's this one.
That's correct.
Okay. It's up to the Planning Commission. Are you okay with suspending the rules and having the public come up and speak first, or would you like to discuss this first?
I think we should hear from them.
Sure. Okay. Is there a motion to suspend the rules?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Yep, you're free to come up and speak on the subject. Just please state your name and address for the record.
When I get up there?
Yep.
Do you want me to go up there too? Or?
Sure.
My name's Alana Glanner. I live at 753 Seminat Street, Green Bay, here in Alloway. And my name is Dawn Glanner. I live at 832 North Maple Avenue in Green Bay. So we are here because we would love to put a duplex up on that corner. We have had a duplex plan in mind for the past 3 years, and we need a corner lot to do that. I fell in love with Alloway as well as her, and when I went for a walk one day, I happened to notice the lot. The style of home that we are putting up actually looks like a single-family home. It does not resemble a duplex whatsoever. It has a shared driveway. The driveway would be coming in on Riverview. The front of the house would be on Merlin. I actually have pictures of the design style of the home so that you could see that we're not putting up a low-income type of housing. It's going to be very nice-looking place. And like I said, her and I would both live in it. We're both registered nurses. Neither of us are married. Neither of us have any children. So I think it would be beautiful.
So the driveway would come on to
East River Drive.
East River.
Okay. The driveway would be coming in on East River. It's a shared driveway. And then the front of the home would be facing Merlin.
Okay.
Did you want to see pictures?
Sure, yeah.
I apologize. I was only able to print off 10 because my printer ran out of ink.
No biggie.
So
we can share.
Yeah, we can share.
Okay. And then should we give pictures to over there or no? I don't know.
Whomever you want.
Okay.
You can give pictures to.
Is there anybody here that's interested in the last couple of them are not
This front faces Merlin.
Correct.
That's
what
That's correct.
Merlin.
And then is this in?
That's still the front.
This is the side. This is so one of us would live on one side. This is actually the side that would. We'd have to reverse the plan. Okay, so this side that's
would
actually, facing this fence right
would
here,
actually be facing the fence that's
the
already there.
On the
so the driveway then would come in on Merlin.
Okay, and that's
yep. So the,
yep.
It,
and
the
there's one stall, and then the other stall is actually right here. So we both drive in, and then one would drive
straight, and then the other one would have to drive
curve in
on the corner.
Okay.
Very nice design.
Thank you.
Right.
We fell in love with it.
Orientation here.
Could you explain this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The garage in this picture.
Okay, the garage is in the back of the house. Okay, so what we would end up having to do is we would have to reverse the plan. This is one door, here's the front door, and here's another door. So this right here, that's facing this picture right here, is the other door. The other front door is there. We would be flipping this around.
So the side door would actually be on the same side as the fence.
There's a fence running along that property line right now. That
so this would actually be in
the one door being along that
right
fence.
There. Then in the back, it's actually it's.
Wait, I mean, can you show some there?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, sure, for sure.
Where's the garage?
The home itself is 40 would be 43 feet wide, and it's showing at about 80. I believe it's 42 or 43 feet wide and about 86 feet deep on the lot. So the house would be positioned here, with the front of the house being here. There's one front door here, and then there's another door right here, with a wraparound walkway that would adjoin the two doors. The driveway would come in here. There would be one person pulling straight in because the duplex is like this. The duplex goes more like this. It's kind of like this. So one person would pull in and pull into their garage here, and then one person would just pull in straight into their garage here.
That helped me.
I mean, I can kind of draw a picture of.
That helped.
Yeah,
I think that
helped. Garage.
Yeah,
it is two separate garages.
Both of us would have two stall garages. Not
but
one they're stall
all
garage.
Attached. It's not detached garages.
But neither one of them are detached. The house is kind of wrapped around one another. So the two homes are actually mirror images of one another. So both of them would have fireplaces, both of them have dining rooms, both of them have living rooms and a loft area upstairs. Two and a half bath, master
bath,
Jack and Jill bath upstairs. All the bedrooms have walk-in closets.
Brad, could you go back to the Travis, could you go back to the So on the back side of the lot.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I stand on the ground. So, would there be a front door going in here?
Correct.
Okay, so
yep.
A front door here and
yep.
A front door here.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how would that not look like a duplex?
Well, obviously, the only reason it's not looking like a duplex is because both doors aren't on the front of the property. The one door is actually coming off the side of the property here. See, it's facing sideways. So the garage, and the one garage you wouldn't even see because the one garage is already going to be facing the wooded area in the back, and the other garage you would only see from East River Drive. You would never even see either garage from Merlin at all.
But if you own the lot next door.
Only the lot next door, I see it every day.
Well, a garage?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're saying that.
Oh,
they,
oh, in between
yeah.
the trees. In between
yeah.
the trees.
So
okay, gotcha.
Yeah, go back to that plan. Yeah.
Yep, so one garage door would be going this way. And the other garage door would be going this way.
So if you lived in the lot to the
if
right of that,
this lot,
you would
yes,
see
you
the
would
garage.
See one garage
you
door.
See the, you would yes. see one garage?
One garage door.
One other garage
door. Garage
door because it would be one facing one way and
one facing
the other. One garage door faces East River
I
and the other garage
lots
door.
Lots here, and that's my house there. So all of these lots would be seeing these garages here. Four mm-hmm. doors.
No.
No?
They don't see one door, one.
What
door.
two
separate looking garages.
Separate looking garages. So one big door that holds two cars in each garage, right?
Correct. It's a two stall garage.
Okay. Is there anybody else that would like to make a comment regarding the plan or the proposal? If so, please come to the podium and state your name and address. Just so we have comments for the record.
Go ahead.
All My name is Pat Berg. I live at 718 Merlin Drive. I'll show you.
Sure.
Right here is our property. We've been fortunate. We've lived there for 14 years. This duplex that is here has had the same residence in for 14 years. So we've been very, very fortunate to be able to have neighbors like that. And I just feel that that lot is its own residential, and there's nothing more that I'd love to have than a house there, but not a duplex. I'm completely not sold on a duplex. I guess if I look at your plan and say, hey, we're not going to put a duplex, but we're going to put a single home up there, and this is what it's going to look like, I'm fine with that. But for me, to put a duplex, no. Now, if you took a bigger aerial view and go down East River Drive just one block, you can see what rental properties look like. You can see the garbage laying around and the people that live there. And to me, I didn't build there 14 years ago to have other people build duplexes in my neighborhood, but I did build next to a duplex. Why? I just see the back of the duplex. That's all I see. If you go to that duplex and look at that one, there's nothing laying in the backyard, because I go over and say something, it leaves something out in my backyard, because I don't want it to look like trash. I'm not against anything going into that lot, but a duplex, it's good for you two today, but when you decide to sell it or somebody else decides to buy it, what's going to happen then? You know, and it's not just about the two of you, it's about the future. You know, and I plan on living there for a while, and I think many of these neighbors do as well. So, to me, sorry, I'm against it. Right?
My name is Barbara Vogel.
I'm sorry. If everyone could just speak into the microphone, just so we can catch in the recording.
Okay.
Thank you.
My name is Barbara Vogel, and I just got this letter last night, so I haven't really thought this through, except to tell you that we are adjacent to that lot, and we and neighbors on each side we've been paying taxes since 1977. And I think that changing that to B devalues the property of those around it. And I just think it's not fair to make it easier for them and to value the people who've been paying taxes around there for as many years as we have.
Which property is yours? I'm sorry.
Just say the address.
822 Terraview, but we own
okay.
Those two.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I'm sure there are other lots that this could be built on, and I know there are a lot of duplexes and not really a need for others in our.
Hi, I'm Michelle McCormick, and I'm at 3138 East River Drive. And to back up what Barb said, I love it that you love Alloway, because we do too. But part of it is because you've been true to the zoning, and we really hate to see that change. From that corner on down is all residential. How the one duplex got in, I'm not sure, but I do think it devalues the property around us and changes things for the future. Thank you.
Ed Vogel, I'm going to reiterate what my wife said. Our address is 822 Terraview, but our backyard is adjacent to this property, plus those other two lots. This came up about 15 years ago. They wanted to change the zoning also, and it was denied. Now, last I talked to this owner of this property, has changed several times. The last time I talked to him, he was going to build a home there. Now, this comes up, they want to build a duplex and change the zoning. I feel personally devalues the property around it. It's a nice looking duplex, I'll agree with that, but it's still a duplex. I'm in favor of it.
My name is Ron Pulak.
live at 3146 East River Drive, and it's the lot, there's a duplex lot, and Andrew Barb's lot, and then we're the next one to the north. And one of the reasons we bought a long time ago in this area was for the lack of multi-family buildings and single families, and it's been very, very good for us, and we enjoy it. And like the, what's his name? Like Pat said, right now, today, it might sound like a good idea, but if they decide to sell 10, 15 years or whatever from now, who knows what will come in a duplex. All one has to do is look on the south side of Hoffman Road and see what some of those duplexes look like there. Thank you. So I'm against it.
I'm Peter Tillman. I live at 3155 East River Drive. I have been there for 25 years. So I'm straight across East River from it, next to the village shops there. And I, too, purchased the property there, or the house, and with the zoning the way it was, and I would look to keep that zoning as a residential as well. So I would be against rezoning it as B residential. Thank you.
Okay. I think we've heard from in the audience. Motion to return to regular session.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
The motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. We are back in the regular session. Sure, for the benefit of the audience, could you point out the other commercially zoned properties that are right in the vicinity of the property in question, along with the lot that's already zoned B residential?
Sure. Going off my map here, this property is zoned B residential as well. It's used as single family, but it's zoned B residential. Maybe it helps to pull up a map. Okay, so this property on Northern is B residential. This property is zoned commercial that's currently used as a duplex. And these homes along here, as well as Ziggy's, is zoned commercial as well. This is the Bose Shops property, and then this is a single family use lot, but it's zoned B residential.
Right. So if you can go back to the other map then, just again for us all to have context. So why don't you point out which ones are B residential zoned today?
Okay. So actually, this one up here is a B residential, as well as this one here. These homes right here are zoned commercial, as well as this property here. This home is, or this store is commercial, and then Ziggy's is commercial. And then there's B residential down here on Hoffman, as referenced earlier.
Right.
So has there ever been a home on that lot?
Not to my knowledge. I know we received a few calls in the period I've been here, so since 2013. It seems to me, and this is just an assumption based off of calls I've received, seems to me that the drawback is that this property is in the floodplain, and after Hurricane Sandy, FEMA has really stepped up their regulations on things being built in the floodplain, and as well as taking away the subsidies that used to be attributed to properties in the floodplain for flood insurance. So it's not only increased cost of constructing in the floodplain, but then it's increased the cost of living in the floodplain too. In order to construct on this property, because it is in the floodplain, they would either have to have a survey done and have a what's called a letter of map amendment, Wilmot, done to the property, or when they construct it, they're going to have to bring in some fill so that the lowest opening of the foundation is not lower than 2 feet above the flood elevation. They need to have a foot of fill surrounding the structure for 15 feet. Basement, if there is a basement, has to be watertight, and the floor can't be lower than 4 or 5 feet below the flood elevation. And then you have to have contiguous driveway and access to the road. East River Drive is actually in the floodplain as well, so you have to likely have written consent from the fire department that they're still able to get their rigs in the case of a flood through that. And then any accessory structures will have to be built at the floodplain. So, I mean, there's quite a bit that has to be done to the property, which seems to me, just an outside perspective, might be a limiting factor as far as putting a single-family home on the property.
Can I make a comment? I think that we need to look at what wants to be done here today and now, and the comments about, you know, what's going to happen in the future. I live in a neighborhood of single-family homes, and a home next to mine was bought by somebody who didn't take care of it and didn't keep it up, let it run down. The original owner wouldn't have done that, and there wasn't anything that I could do about it. It can happen to single-family and to duplexes, and so I don't think that necessarily has to be a consideration for what we're looking at here as to, you know, what's the best use of the property, the fact that it hasn't been developed, there's not a lot of lots in Alloway. I think that it sounds like a good project for that property in that area that goes with the comprehensive plan. Those are my thoughts.
I think in the context of the lot descriptions that Trevor gave us, you know, it's not like this would be the only duplex or B residential lot in that area. You know, there are others on both sides, and there's commercial, you know, quite adjacent. And on a larger scale, in a larger sense, with larger developments, often they position duplexes or multi-family homes adjacent to a major road or to a commercial area, and single-family homes are behind. And the way you pointed to the ones that are already identified as B residential, it's hard to see how it couldn't fit there. So at this point, I'm in favor of moving forward with it.
My own concern with that is that we're here today deciding on the zoning. Although this is a beautiful home, and I would love to see a home like this in Alloway, and I think that it would definitely not decrease values. Unless there's a way we can make the rezoning of the lot conditional upon this home being built there, there's, like, rezoning it doesn't guarantee that this is the outcome. Obviously, that's the intention of the outcome.
We've already given Ernest money, and she's accepted our offer on the lot contingent on the rezoning.
Okay. So, that would be, I guess my concern is to make sure that we can get something this beautiful. And
did you know about the all the floodplain restrictions too?
Yes, and my home was also in a flood zone, and I had them come in and recheck. Mauer and Associates came in and rechecked all my elevations, and I was actually fortunate enough to get removed from the flood zone. But all of Simonette Street and everything, all back there, all that new housing is all flood zone. So I'm very familiar with flood insurance and what goes into all of that. That hasn't deterred me in the least from buying this lot.
Can I make another comment, please?
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, now Pierre's here.
Yeah, you can come up just so you get it on record.
I just want to say those lots across the street that you say are big residential, I bought those six lots back in 1977 or sometime, and I did not want duplexes there. So I had those homes built there so I would not have duplexes to look at for my backyard.
Are you talking about the lots that are...
All those ones, there were six lots there.
Right there, okay, where he's pointing.
And they were approved for multifamily, duplexes, but I did not want that, so I had private homes built in all those lots.
And you can do that in a B residential or a commercial district. I mean, you can build the single family homes. Okay. So if you're concerned anybody about your lot being B residential, it's not like it's restricting you from building a single family home. That's certainly not the case.
And those were in the floodplain actually shortly after we built our home. I don't remember the man's name, but he came and said, "Oh, would you like to buy the lots on the other across East River Drive, because I'm going to build apartment buildings there." And so that's the reason we bought them, not to make any money selling those homes. That was a floodplain, and Steve Shane built those homes, and I don't think anyone has had any trouble with water in those homes. Right? So, and I guess my other thought is, just because those were Zone B, they're used as Zone A. Those are private family homes.
All right, we'll do one more, and then we'll have to spend the world again.
I would like to echo Kendra's statement, where she said, today you're deciding to rezone from A to B. The assurance then, if it's done, has to be, there has to be some restrictive covenants that a certain type of duplex has to be built. Because this could be left today, it is zoned now B, and anything can be put up there. And that is certainly something that we as neighbors cannot live with. Just because it's zoned B, we have to be assured that it's going to fall through.
Can we make that conditional on the zoning?
On the design? Because we don't have design standards in our zoning ordinance to begin with, so even if we couldn't restrict the owners. That's a transitional lot. Mm-hmm. Why it wasn't zoned B residential at the outset, because we won't know. Does anyone have any other concerns about zoning it B residential?
My only concern is the type of building that gets built there. Is it consistent with the neighborhood? And I guess knowing that there's going to be some money down and the design selected.
I forget the other options for B residential. What other options? I mean, if we're thinking, well, if we zone this B residential and the deal falls through, then what other options are on the table then for development in this lot now that it would be zoned? Since we can't make it conditional on this property being built, what are the other? And I thought it was in my packet. I thought I printed something off. You know. Oh, yeah. But it also, there's something else that tells us what other types of structures can be built there.
Sure.
I mean, what other uses?
I'll pull that up for you.
Boarding houses, lodging houses.
Those options. And I thought I...
Hospitals, clinics, veterinarian.
Not veterinarians, I think. But
not including.
What is an ELO seminary?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a new word.
Yeah.
Is that in there? Maybe I missed.
There's a separate page that identifies what's in the code. It identifies what's acceptable in, as a B residential. Yeah.
So an apartment house could be built there.
Yeah.
It would have to meet all the setbacks.
And not an apartment house like you think of, you know.
I don't think there's enough room to
right,
put.
Right.
You have to have a pretty big size lot to put a bigger house and be residential.
Right. And I think what they mean by apartment house, again, our zoning code is kind of antiquated, so some of the zoning terms don't necessarily match with today's terms. Apartment house is a different thing, you know, apartment building.
Can you clarify
who's
building the school here? I mean, I know Brad, but
my name is Trevor Fuller. I'm the Planning and Zoning Administrator.
For L.
Correct.
I think that's telling you that you can't build a apartment house. It says, except that the following shall not be a permitted use. You can have religious and whatever that other word means, or philanthropic, but you can't. Have a
religious apartment. Yes. So they couldn't put a bed and breakfast there because that's considered a business.
Chief activities
right.
In a service.
So, Trevor, what other permitted uses are in a residential? Is there a list like this?
Yes.
Because I believe there's exposure to other things beside a single family home in a residential as well. Maybe I'm mistaken.
So this is the list of allowed uses in a residential?
Churches, family daycare centers, licensed and unlicensed. Except the following uses. Do I understand that right?
Yeah. Those are the uses that are acceptable.
Pardon?
Those are the acceptable uses.
Those are the acceptable uses. Yeah, I didn't read the first part of the paragraph. So you can put a church there in an A residential.
You can put a greenhouse there.
Put a greenhouse
no,
there.
That's accessory. Oh, yeah.
Or a library. Or a park. So a residential doesn't exclude you from other options.
Right.
If this, so we could change it to accommodate a structure being put there, but it could stay a residential and something else might be there besides a single family home.
I guess we got to look at it
yeah.
pragmatically a little bit too, because if the market wanted to put a single family home there, it would have
been there.
And it has not happened. It's a transitional lot that's adjacent to other commercial and B residential. So that's kind of where I'm at on it. The market is telling us what that lot should be zoned.
But it's not adjacent to B residential.
Right across the street on Merlin. And then cross East River. But you're right, not directly adjacent to that neighborhood, but across the roads.
And the floodplain issue may be a reason why the market has left that lot vacant as long as it has been, because of the extra cost.
back up, please? What is that dotted line? Is that a right-of-way access? That's
this one?
There. Yep. What is that?
So I'm guessing originally it was platted out, and then property lines changed. So this denotes the original plat. But then at some point of time, and it says in the legal description, 35 feet of lot 26. So someone acquired 35 feet of lot 26.
So the blue lines are the lines that are correct now?
Correct, yes.
Okay, any other discussion on this item?
I'd just like to ask the young ladies that want to build, do you have a builder? Do you have this design? Or
no,
where did you get this design?
I found this design 3 years ago online. And this is the design that we, looking at many, many, many designs just online. And on these online websites, yes, you can alter the interior of the home to suit you as you see fit. Then you then pay an X amount of dollars to have the plans drawn up, how they need to be drawn up. From that point, then we would be giving the drawings to approximately 3 to 4 construction companies to see what...
Yeah, the plans are still available.
Yes,
the
absolutely.
Still online, and the plans
are
still
available.
Available.
We didn't move forward with any type of getting in touch with any type of contractors because
we need a lot.
We need
first.
A lot.
Mm-hmm. Do you know that that footprint is going to fit on that lot the way you want it to?
Well, the reason why we had looked at it is because of the fact that we have approximately 132 at the lowest point, and then 136 at the highest point, and the home is 85 lengthwise. And then we've got, I believe it was 82 or, was it, no, 90, I'm sorry, 90-some feet width-wise on Merlin, and the home is 42 feet.
So we've got plenty of
room to put the duplex on there.
So you don't know if economically feasible yet. You haven't spoken to a builder to even...
Actually, my father is going to help us finance this, and he's a business owner.
And we're
and
also business owners
as
well.
We own our own real estate company as well.
We don't have to
we're
get
it. We're not worried about financing. So.
And that really can't even... The design itself really can't isn't what are under our purview to discuss. The design itself is, I'm sorry for even asking that question. Shouldn't take us off topic like that. But we just need to make a decision on whether or not we want to allow a duplex to be built in that corner, or allow somebody else that doesn't want a duplex there to buy the lot. That's it.
And anything beyond that and further discussions would be, you know, with the building, with, you know, in compliance with our building code, which outlines all the setbacks and dimensions that you need to have.
And
so,
if we have to make alterations to the plans to make it fit,
so
we have every intention.
So any condition that anything that we do would be conditional on down the road on meeting all the other requirements for building. But that's not our mission here. We're starting the process here.
Okay. Any other discussion? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Well, I'm not sure exactly how to do the motion. This is my first meeting, but I entertain a motion that we change it to that lot to be residential.
There's a motion to approve. Is there a second?
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion and second carry. So when is the next board meeting where this will get heard again?
So this will be, your recommendation will be given to the board at the July 18th meeting. However, they'll just schedule a public hearing on that date. And then, because of noticing requirements and the way the date, the meetings fall, this will not be in front of the board until August 15th.
Okay. Is that clear to everyone? August 15th is when it'll be in front of the village board for final approval or rejection.
And if any of the residents here tonight receive notice of this meeting, they'll receive notice of that meeting as well.
So August 15th is the public hearing?
Yes. 6:30.
Okay, thank you.
I just want to understand something. They can buy this lot and build anything they want on it, if it's a B, correct?
Anything that fits within the zoning.
They would have to build that.
Anything that fits within the zoning of a B residential district, correct?
Right.
If it's approved on August 15th.
If it's approved, they can build whatever they want.
Within the district parameters,
correct.
Okay. Item number 7, update on Green Bay Correctional Institution.
Not a lot to report on. I did reach out to Representative Stephan's office today. It has not been scheduled in front of the Joint Finance Committee yet. And that it was going to be this week. With the budget deadline looming, I would think it would be scheduled sooner than later. But at this point, nothing really new has changed. I know President Rafter did do an interview today with Fox 11 that will be shown tonight at 9. There's been an encouragement to reach out to your representatives and senators. So if you haven't done so and you wish to do so, to encourage the moving forward of the prison or decommissioning of the prison, please do so.
Yeah, there's been a lot of press on it lately.
A lot of press.
Yeah. So is there a deadline? That's what I seem to keep reading. For it to be...
If it's taken up within the... Because it was introduced as both a standalone bill and the, as a budget. And bill and the budget. And if it's the bill and the budget goes through, that deadline is coming very soon for the approval on the budget. So.
Okay.
And I think, yes, we probably reported that it's Tucker, myself, and our village president went down to speak. Okay.
Yep. Okay. Anybody have any questions on that? Item number 8, update on Alloway Waterworks Building, located at 535 Green Avenue.
I'm looking forward to the day when I can tell you that we sold this building.
So are we.
So I shared with you at the last meeting that we're going through this restrictive covenant. We do have something in draft form. I went to the board last week, and then we'll go to the Historic Preservation Committee this week on Thursday to discuss what, because the village is the author of this covenant, we can discuss what the intentions are, what we want to maintain down the road. The village board suggested the face of the building, and I think that's the popular one. I think a lot of people, you know, when they drive by, that's what attracts them to the building, is the face. So
there was a lot of stuff in that covenant that seemed over the top.
Right. We did, our attorney did use a draft model from the state, and I think we're going to simplify a few things because it might not be needed.
Good.
Got 3 showings this week.
Oh, really?
It's, and I think we lost track. We've got 30 or more that have come in
No kidding.
Yeah.
Like legitimate, or you just want a tour?
There's probably out of, if we use 30 as the number, I would say, can have probably been very legitimate.
Okay.
What are some of the uses that there? Anywhere from strictly a residential to a mixed use. And strictly commercial, so it's church has been one that's been brought up, so.
What?
What is it zone? You have to rezone it.
We can't put a church
there. Once the covenant is taken care of and there is an accepted offer, obviously, then it's going to come back for the zoning before this committee as well.
Okay. Good. Item number 9, report discussion, standing committees, anything new that we didn't know about or status quo?
Great. Yeah, the wayfinding signs.
Yeah, those look nice.
Yeah.
Good work.
Banners as well. And Brad, I wasn't at the... Parks Committee, they tend to take the summer off as far as just nothing. A lot of new stuff to talk about, but anyway...
Public Works. Yeah, right. I should have brought the agenda. I apologize. One of the items that the Public Works is discussing is obviously the sidewalk plowing to make sure that it is clear and concise so people understand what it is. And for the most part, we'll be able to plow the sidewalks. So trying to make sure that we keep maintain the ability for people to use our public sidewalks at all times.
So the village is going to plow sidewalks?
3 inches or more.
Correct. Yeah. Well, there's not that many sidewalks now, I guess, but...
You talked about the school routes and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay.
The crossing on... Southern crossing on Highway 57 or Riverside Drive is moving forward. We're in the process. We do have to acquire some small strips of land. The two property owners that the Hawk Crossing will be placed upon are in full agreement, which is really nice to see. They're looking forward to being able to use the crossing to get to the Fox River Trail. And I apologize, I just can't think of the rest of the stuff that's on the docket.
There was a change in the looking at the some of the ordinances as it relates to pedestrians in the roadway that were written in the 1930s and are not really in compliance with state law and probably wouldn't be followed anyway, and so just updating this ordinances to make it clear that pedestrians do, because the ordinances basically say if you're in the street and something happens, it's your fault.
Sure.
And so
thank you.
But it's kind of buried and nobody really looked at it anyway, but we really, because of the bicycle and pedestrian plan, want to show that what pedestrians really, because we don't have a lot of sidewalks, that they really can use the street and what uses to have, and so that's going to be looked at.
I think I remember Roger mentioning that before you.
Yeah,
that was the basis of his, how could I forget, I was there.
Yeah.
We were both there. the way it was written is rather onerous on pedestrians. I mean, maybe they have to share the road and maybe they have some rights, but if they're injured and they want to try and sue through a legal process, they might mostly lose because the motorist has the right, because the rules were written back when cars were king of the road and automobile manufacturers wanted to make sure that people that bought their new cars in the 20s didn't have to worry about running over pedestrians, or they wanted to make it clear. That's kind of the gist of why those rules have been in place all these years.
So Jim does know about that pedestrian connection, right?
Yes.
Okay.
A couple other things that are taking place. The surgical center that's came before the committee a while back is scheduled for a state review in July.
July 7th.
So hopefully they'll get started shortly thereafter. Zambaldi is still moving forward. Hopefully at the July 18th we'll be able to finish the developer's agreement. The village board did allow or approve applying for a ready-for-reuse loan, the 0% interest loan from the DNR for the cleanup, as well as we'll be applying for a WEDC brownfield grant as well. So all those are in the process. We've got a lot of paperwork to finish up, but trying to get that all done before Trevor leaves for a week. For a week.
Okay, good. Anything else? Nothing? We're good?
I have a few agenda items, but...
Okay, we'll move on to that then. Item number 10, next meeting date and future agenda items.
So as Brad mentioned, looking at starting the PDD process for the Zambaldi Brewery project next month. That's assuming they get all the plans into us, which I'm told shouldn't be a problem. Then also we'll be talking about the Webster Avenue streetscape. We should have from Greg some preliminary streetscape design for redeveloping Webster Avenue. So those are two, I think, pretty big items. But then we'll also have a draft, RFP for the zoning code to discuss next month, as well as draft language for amending our site code for that billboard discussion that we spoke about two months ago.
What is that? What is that Monday night?
It's July 24th. That's
July 24th. Okay.
So it probably be a little heavier agenda.
Okay.
Before.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Or maybe not.
Yeah, who knows? I thought tonight was going to take 15 minutes.
Yeah, you never know.
Yep. Okay, item number 11, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
We will miss you.
Maybe they, well, they just let the air out of our tires. I should turn this off. It's still going.